In the 20th chapter of John, Pat read from us a little while ago. There's a couple more verses. I would add to it verses 24 and 25 when Jesus appeared to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." If someone were to ask you to read the Gospel of John and to highlight in yellow with a highlighter all the times that John uses the word "see," you would end up with a whole lot of yellow marks in your Bible. Because when it comes to understanding who Jesus is and what the resurrection is all about, John's Gospel stresses the important role of seeing. However, like so many other truths that you and I hold to and the world holds to, God sees things backwards and quite the opposite from the way you and I understand things. Thomas is a good example of that. He holds the world's wisdoms. How many times have you heard the expression, "seeing is believing"? That's exactly what Thomas is saying. Seeing is believing, and unless I see, I won't believe. And then Jesus comes to him in this gospel, and he says, Tommy boy, let me tell you, you have things backwards. Now, I'm going to let you see this time, but the truth is, everybody needs to believe. And then he or she will see and be blessed. It's a whole lot of seeing going on this Sunday morning. Mary runs to the disciples and says, "I have seen the Lord." When it comes to Easter, there is no knowing. There is no believing. Without this dramatic seeing, it's essential. It's important. But Jesus doesn't hang around for all of us to see him the way these people got to see him, the way Mary got to see him, the way the 12 got to see him, the way the Bible says about 500 people at one time saw the Lord. Well, then Luke comes along in his second installation of the Bible in the book of Acts. And he very clearly tells us that Jesus made a point of leaving in a dramatic way. We call it the ascension. He made a very clear and definite exit from this world. No longer would we see him in the flesh or with these eyes right here. But he made this very concise, complete exit. And now he's going to show himself to the world through the Holy Spirit. God showing himself to the world through the Holy Spirit. And we call him a spirit precisely because, can you see a spirit? No, a spirit is something you cannot see. And so things have changed. But here we are at the resurrection, and there's a whole lot of seeing going on. Look, in John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, Mary saw that the stone had been rolled away, but she did not know where they had taken the Lord. The disciple that Jesus loved looked into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there, but not Jesus. Peter arrives on the scene, and he saw the clothes lying in separate places. The beloved disciple followed and saw the cloth linen and believed. Mary looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting at the head and at the foot where Jesus' body had been. Still, she didn't know anything else but thinking that they had taken the Lord away. But when she saw Jesus, she knew it was him. It wasn't a whole lot of help for Mary to focus on the linen cloths and the empty tomb. That wasn't enough. It's only when she is able to see Jesus that she was able to believe. Just being at the empty tomb is not enough. You have to encounter the risen Christ. And Easter is nothing less than this wonderful gift from God to us, the God who comes to us, the God who gives us what we need, the God who gives us enough to enable us to believe. So what about you? What do you see? Then more importantly, what do you believe? A distinguished historian of today declared, once the modern world convinced itself that nothing is real except what we can taste, see, and touch, the modern world has gone downhill ever since. The modern world is devoted to this. There's only reality of what we can see or quantify or measure, right? That's all there is. This kind of seems to be the attitude of the sales clerk who is working for you, serving you as you're in the store. And you look at all the items there and you say, you know, this isn't quite what I want. Do you have any in the back? And she says to you, hey, what you see is all there is. Either take it or leave it. Okay? It's the attitude of higher education today and our universities and institutions looking out over the world, stuff that displeases us, stuff that we don't like. But the general mindset of the university campuses is just this. They kind of grow up, okay? To be a mature adult means you become the sort of person who is able to say, well, this is all there is. What you see is what you get. Either take it or leave it. Don't whine. Don't console yourself in fairy tales, just wishing it would be another way. Live on the basis of what you see before you. And just live with it. Okay? And yet, this approach just doesn't do justice to the complexities of vision. Vision is a very complicated thing. Just how light and images travel through the eye is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. But our eyes do a very good job of filtering out a whole lot of things. And even though the impulses are reaching their eyes, we really don't see stuff that we should see. We have this kind of template in our brains. And we only tend to look at for things that we've been taught to look for. We only tend to see things that we have been told are important. We actually only see a whole lot of things that we're just interested in. That which doesn't interest us just doesn't seem to be seen, right? A whole lot of sensory images come through our eyeballs and into our brains, and then our brains make some kind of connection, some kind of recognition. Hey, I've seen that face before. I know I've seen that guy. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. He works at the grocery store. You make those kind of connections all the time, but there's a whole lot of things that you and I miss. You know, a woman walks into a house that she's never been in before, and she sees the curtains, and she notices their patterns, and she notices their colors, and she notices whether or not they clash with the furniture and the other decor. She notices a lot of those things about those curtains. Her husband could spend an hour in that very same room and he would have no idea that there were even any curtains up there at all. Wouldn't even see them. But he did notice the great big flat screen TV in the corner. He knows its brand. He knows how much it costs. He knows where the remote control is before he leaves that room. Because he sees what he wants to see and she sees what she wants to see. One man can walk into the woods and all he sees is a bunch of random trees and branches and sticks and leaves. Looks like a big mess to him. But an experienced hunter walks into the same woods and he's able to say, you know, there was a buck that rubbed this tree last year, right here. Oh, and you know what? Some turkeys fed here last night. They're looking at the same thing. One sees something that the other doesn't. We are good at seeing what we want to see, what we train ourselves to see, and what we are looking for. So what does our brain do with something that just doesn't fit the patterns that are already there, or that which we're familiar with, or that which we aren't expecting? Hey, but what if our vision is out of focus, you know? What if we're not only limited to what we expect to see, but also to what we have the courage to see? So, Mary Magdalene, she shows up at the tomb of Jesus early Sunday morning, and when she saw that the huge stone of the door of that tomb was rolled away, and that the tomb was empty, she immediately saw what had happened, right? This is obviously a crime scene. A dead body has been stolen. She saw it. She knew it. The only thing she didn't know was, where's the body? It's got to be somewhere. Even when an angel appears to her and asks her why she is weeping, Mary still is convinced, well, somebody's stolen the body. I got a reason to cry here, fella. Okay? It's not until Jesus himself appears to Mary and he calls her by name that she begins to see things as they are. Even then, she still thinks that the risen Christ is what? Well, he's a gardener. She doesn't even recognize him at first. Mary's mindset, she's in a cemetery, she's in a place of death, she's in a place of destruction, loss. It's not till he calls her name that her eyes are able to refocus. Well, that's not the gardener. That's Jesus. And now she sees. Okay, Thomas didn't get to see the same stuff, okay? He hears the reports that Jesus' body is missing and the news that Jesus has appeared to the other disciples. He hears all that. But Thomas says, no. Unless I see the wounds that killed Jesus, I won't believe. So you see, to Thomas, there's only one reality here. This guy's dead. He's been crucified. He's buried. There's got to be large holes in his hands and in his side. That's reality. Come on, folks, let's talk about reality here. That's Thomas, for sure. And it's not until the risen Lord appears to Thomas that all that reality changes, doesn't it? Completely, totally. Don't really bother calling him Doubting Thomas, okay? Thomas had plenty of faith. He had faith in reality. He had faith in what he could see. He had faith in things like death and failure and annihilation. Mary was the same way. You and I are the same way too. We really are. What does it take to get you to see what's really there at the empty tomb? What if you're still working from a failed vision of perception? Where does that leave you if you don't see what's there at the empty tomb? Well, it leaves you still in the dark. Still in the dark. Because everything changed that Sunday morning in Jerusalem. But you still act as if death is the winner. So you're still depressed. You aren't living the energized, enthusiastic life of victory because all you can see is what use is it? It's all dead end. It's all fatal. It's all defeat. And yet you and I believe in a whole lot of things, other things that we can't see. Why don't we believe in this? Do you believe in microwaves? Do you believe in microwaves? Have you ever seen a microwave? Nope. Not seen one. Start the microwave oven up and you look through that little glass. Can you see one microwave at work? That little thing spinning around in there. But you know that there are billions upon trillions of quadrillions. You can't even count them. Microwaves running around in that little oven there, right? Heating up your cup of coffee, heating up that leftovers from the plate last night, popping your popcorn or whatever it's doing, and the little ding goes off on the door, and you open it up, and you experience the power of all those microwaves you couldn't even see. So you believe in microwaves, don't you? Last week in Chicago, people were running up to each other with the news that there's a coyote in that deli over there. And he's sitting in the deli section in one of the freezers. But don't you know that there was a whole lot of reaction of people who said, yeah, April Fool's, right. April Fool's was 2 days ago or whatever it was, right? What, do I look stupid that I believe there's a coyote in the deli in the freezer section? But all they had to do was go over to the window of that deli and they could see it for themselves. And they would believe. I'm not sure that I would have believed it if I hadn't seen the news videos for myself. There's a coyote in downtown Chicago in the deli section in the freezer. What if something grabs our heads and gets our attention and brings everything into focus? For Mary and for Thomas, it's the risen Lord. Okay, and for you and for me, it's the same thing. It's a good thing that you're here today to see the risen Lord. Oh, I know, He's not visible in the flesh here like He was that Sunday morning, but that's part of His plan. Do you see Him? Do you see Him? Do you see Him in the way that He dramatically changes lives of people today? That's Jesus. Do you see the way that He stirs your heart? He touches your emotions? Or He tells you things that you just couldn't know on your own? Do you see Him at work in your life today? Oh, He's alive. Oh, He's here. Oh, He's with us. But can you see Him? You say, well, I want to see before I believe. Jesus is here today to say, that ain't the way it works. You believe, then you'll see. That's the way it goes. And once you do see that, it changes everything. Money doesn't matter. People matter. Pleasure isn't everything. You find pleasure in doing for others. Success is no longer defined by how many people report to you or do what you say. Success is measured by how many people you help, how many people you assist. There's a drastic difference in how everything looks. That cemetery across the street, maybe it holds one of your loved ones, a brother, a sister, a spouse, mom or dad, maybe even one of your children is over there in that cemetery across the street. But is that person really there? Or is that just a holding place for what body that they occupied while they were here? But the reality is that loved ones, not here, not there, but in heaven with Jesus and very much alive with everybody else who loved Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, even though they never saw Jesus while they were living in this life. Man, we can see something like that, not with our eyes, but with our hearts, with our faith. Hey folks, Christianity is a revealed religion. You can't see it until it's given to you, till somebody shows it to you. And you then can experience the gift of the risen Christ. Will Willimon says that he knows a 30-some-year-old man who just had been living a wildly undisciplined life. This 30-year-old guy was really something. He was a person who was really intelligent. He had a lot of gifts and abilities, but he never could get his act together or grow up. Willimon knew him during his college years and said he was a party animal, a real party animal. Everybody thought, well, when he gets married, it'll make a difference. But he got married, and it didn't make any difference at all. He and his wife spent many nights out carousing and boozing and just living it up. Wild. A good friend said of him, that boy has just wasted his life. But a couple of months ago, the young man's wife presented him with a little baby girl. No one ever thought of him as being the parent type, but there was this baby. And the change was dramatic. He totally settled down. He suddenly got focused. If you met him on the street today, you would hardly know that you were talking to the same guy. The main pleasure in his life now is providing for his child's future and in being a great father and living in providing a good family for her. What happened? Well, he got encountered, didn't he? A special little someone arrived on the scene and he got redirected. It changed everything. And in an instant, his vision went one way from what he thought he wanted to be to being able to see what he was meant to be. And for the first time, he saw true reality. I think that was something like Easter. Something like Easter indeed. Well, are you still waiting to see something else from God before you will believe Him? Jesus has news for you. You're going to be waiting for a long, long time because He doesn't offer you something to see and then you'll believe. He says, son, He says, daughter, just believe me. And I promise you, you'll see me. You will see me.